Good morning.
Morning.
Well, it's good to be here. And I thoroughly enjoyed that quartet. As Bill Gaither says, there's something spiritual about a good quartet. And listen, it wasn't the pianist's first day on the job either. Thank you, Ron, for that. I remember reading some time ago about a conference being held, and at this conference was a very capable Bible teacher, known by many and well respected by so many, up in years, and he was asked to come to the podium and share with the people there one of the outstanding truths that he had learned over the years. And when he came to the podium, he said, "I believe the most outstanding truth that I have learned from the Bible in all of my years is this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It's good to know that, isn't it? Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday, where we celebrated in a particular way, or particular ways, the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although we who are born again, we who know Christ as Savior, we think daily about the living Lord Jesus Christ. But I trust you haven't gotten over the Easter message, His bodily resurrection. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Many of you are somewhat familiar with Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I am thinking of verses 3 and 4. Where he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Let me pause to say, keep in mind, Paul was referring to the Old Testament Scriptures. The New Testament had not been written. So he said, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." That is, in fulfillment of the Old Testament Scriptures. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures," or in fulfillment of the Scriptures. So Paul was speaking about the Old Testament Scriptures. When our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the Jewish rulers, you'll see this in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 39, he said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." He was speaking of the Old Testament Scriptures. And when the risen Lord Jesus Christ encountered those two disciples on the Emmaus Road, he gave them a Bible reading that I'm sure they never forgot. They were returning home so sad, so down. They thought it was all over. This Jesus of Nazareth came speaking many wonderful words and doing wonderful works, performing miracles. But now he's dead. They crucified him. So here the risen Christ spoke to them. They didn't recognize him at first. Mark's gospel tells us that his countenance was changed, so they didn't recognize him, whatever that meant. Whether it was some kind of a metamorphosis, we don't know. But they didn't recognize him. And they did not believe that this one who died upon the cross would be buried in fulfillment of Scripture and rise from the dead in fulfillment of Scripture. So in opening to them the Old Testament Scriptures, he said, "Don't you believe all that the prophets have spoken? Ought not Christ the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. The Old Testament Scriptures. Did the Savior take them to Leviticus chapter 14? I'm inclined to believe he did. But look back at Matthew chapter 8. Here, a leper comes to Jesus and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be thou clean." And then the Lord commanded that he tell no one, but he said, "Go to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony." So I want us to think about this leper. Consider with me, first of all, the condition of this leper. Leprosy was a scourge in the ancient world. Nothing evoked more fear, more dread, and more revulsion than the sight of these walking dead. And they were thought of and spoken of in that way, the walking dead. Leprosy is always set before us in Scripture as a dreadful affliction. And curiously enough, it is never spoken of as a disease. It is that. But I'm saying it was never spoken of as a disease, but rather as a defilement. Lepers were always said to be cleansed and not cured. Here again, they were cured, but Scripture speaks of them being cleansed. Now, leprosy is a constitutional disease. That is to say, it is working in the body long before it is recognized on the skin. In the more dangerous type of leprosy, that condition on the skin may spread wildly in all directions. Portions of the eyebrows may disappear. Spongy, tumor-like swellings grow on the face and body. The disease, and it is a disease, but it is a defilement. The disease becomes systemic and involves the internal organs as well as the skin. Marked deformity of the hands and feet occur when the tissues between the bones deteriorate and disappear. It can be, and it is, a horrible condition. Now, you need to read in Mark's gospel as well as Luke's gospel, and I'll give you the references, Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 5. you have the corresponding accounts. Mark and Dr. Luke write about the same leper that we read of here in Matthew chapter 8. And Dr. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, that this leper was full of leprosy. He was full of leprosy. That would indicate to us that he was close to death, the walking dead. I remember going to Nassau, Bahamas for meetings back in the 80s. It's been our privilege to be there a number of times since then. In fact, we'll be leaving a week and a half from now for meetings close to a month in the Bahamas. But back in the 80s, when we first went to Nassau, Brother Alec Pender, some of you have met him in years past up at the conference. Alec Pender, an outstanding man, a godly man. He was an executive for a large food distribution company. He's still living. His wife, Ruby, has gone. And Alec has dementia. Maybe it's in the advanced stages now, Alzheimer's. But Brother Alec came to me, and now here was an executive for a large company. He said, "Brother Eddie, I go to a leper colony." I can't remember whether it was once a week or once a month. He said, "I go to this leper colony. Another brother and myself go, and we have a meeting there as we talk to the lepers. Would you like to go with us?" I said, yes. I didn't know what to expect. A leper colony. Well, we went. Lazaretta. And there were a few lepers there. And we sang some songs. Brother Alec prayed, and I brought a short message. The last time I went with him to Lazaretta, there were two lepers there. It's an AIDS colony now in Nassau, but there were two lepers at that time. And the hands of both of them were gnarled, and one tried his best to play a guitar as we sang some songs. But what an experience that was. A leper colony. Well, this leper who came to Jesus, according to Dr. Luke, was full of leprosy. Now, what makes this encounter so interesting is that under Old Testament law, the leper was completely defiled in his uncleanness. When one was suspected of being a leper, he was put to the test, quite extensive, quite rigorous. He was put to the test. And Leviticus chapter 13 gave instructions to the priest, the Old Testament priest, as to what he was to do, the procedure that he was to follow in determining whether or not this person was a leper. And if the person were a leper, then Leviticus chapter 13 instructed the priest that that leper is to be put out of society. He is to be separated from his family. He's to be separated from the congregation of Israel. He is to be separated from society in general. And I say he, some women were lepers. And when anyone would approach a leper, he was to have his face, his lips particularly covered. And when anyone would dare approach the leper, they were not to get within something like 15 or 20 feet of a leper. The leper was to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean! Defiled!" And so the Old Testament law gave instructions that this person was to be exiled, as it were. Albert Barnes, commenting on Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45, notes, "The leper was to carry about with him the usual signs of mourning for the dead. The leper was a living parable in a world of sin of which death was the wages. In fact, all disease and degeneration are ultimately products of sin, original sin and neglect, but none is so gruesomely picturesque of the effect sin has on a person and a community as leprosy. The disease progresses slowly at first, deeply seated in the bones and joints, essentially undetectable until spots appear on the skin. Gradually, these spots grow to cover the entire body. They give the appearance of foul wounds, sore and festering, as the body slowly wastes away in a ruinous heap. Parts of the body actually begin falling off, leading essentially to the individual's death. And I understand a leper can live up to 50 years in indescribable misery as he watches himself die bit by bit, falling to pieces as a hideous spectacle." Now, for this leper of Matthew chapter 8, it was a hopeless predicament. Nothing could be done apart from God's miraculous intervention. You possibly remember the story of Naaman, captain of the hosts of king of Syria. This is in 2 Kings chapter 5. He was a leper. And a young Israeli girl who was a servant, having been taken captive, a servant in his home, said to Mrs. Naaman, "If your husband were to go to my country and see the prophet of God, he would be healed." You remember the story, possibly. Naaman went to the king of Israel instead of the prophet. At least at first he went to the king. Later he went to Elisha. But he went to the king of Israel. And he had come with a note from the king of Syria: "Heal my captain." Well, the king of Israel thought that he was starting a quarrel here that would lead to a war. He said, this is the king of Israel, he said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy?" He knew he was a walking dead man. "Am I God to make alive?" And you might remember from Numbers chapter 12 and verse 12, when Miriam and Aaron, and it seems that Miriam might have been the instigator in this, but when Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses, Miriam was stricken with leprosy. She was white with leprosy. And Aaron pleaded with Moses, "She is dead. Call upon God to heal her of this terrible malady. She's dead," because a leper was indeed a walking dead person. Now, to cure anyone of leprosy was the same as bringing a dead person back to life. Leprosy does not speak of sin in the Bible. I know some good Bible teachers will say that. I don't believe leprosy speaks of sin in the Bible, but rather it speaks of the results of sin. Why did the Lord Jesus touch that leper? he later touched Peter's mother-in-law. Why did he touch that leper? He didn't have to touch the leper to heal him. And we see this in Matthew chapter 8, where the centurion pleaded with Jesus to heal his servant. And when the Lord Jesus started toward his place, he said, "Oh Lord, you don't have to come to my place. You don't have to go to the servant. Just speak the word." And the Lord Jesus did so, and he was healed. So he didn't have to touch him. Why did the Lord Jesus touch the leper? Now keep in mind, when the Lord Jesus touched the leper, now the law forbade anyone else to touch a leper, to get near a leper. But the Lord Jesus touched him. There was no corresponding leprosy onto the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus healed that man of his leprosy, of his defilement, but there was no impurity, no defilement that came to the Lord Jesus. I want you to keep that in mind. No, leprosy does not speak of sin with death as the end. It rather pictures death itself. Leprosy is a vivid and graphic physical picture of the spiritual defilement of sin. I'm not in the habit of relating stories that people share with me in confidence. But this was back in the 80s. Some of you know Bruce and Lisa Stewart in the Burlington Assembly. They used to be staff members at an orphanage at Elon. And they used to bring a good many of the children and young people to the Sunday school at Ireland Street Chapel. It was an orphanage, but not all the children and young people there were without parents. Sometimes the home condition necessitated them being there. And I was preaching one Sunday morning, and the young people were there. And I was talking about being clean. I guess maybe I was preaching on 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I gave an invitation that morning. I said something like this. I said, "Now, if there is anyone here or ones here to whom God is speaking, and you feel God speaking to you, and you would like to settle this matter of receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to come up and take a seat on the front row. We'll have the others go quickly out, and we'll help in any way that we can." A 15-year-old girl came. She stuttered badly. And when I sat with her and I said to her, I said, "Now, exactly why did you stay behind this morning? Why did you come up here to the front row?" And it took a long time for her to get it out. She said, "Sir, I want to be clean in the sight of God." I later learned that her father and brother had sexually abused her over the years. And Bruce and Lisa told me, said, "Now here's an even sadder note. According to the law, she has to go home for a week after so many months of being there. And the father and brother are waiting for her." But she said, I want to be clean in the sight of God. I had the joy and privilege of pointing her to Christ and telling her the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. No, leprosy speaks of death itself. So when the Lord Jesus Christ touched that leper, he did not become a leper. Grace reversed the law. Why did he touch the leper? Why did he, in that sense, according to Isaiah 53 and verse 4, why did he carry their sicknesses and their infirmities or sorrows? Why did he touch him? Because he made himself responsible for the cause. But now, listen, dear friends, I want you to keep this in mind too. When that 15-year-old girl said to me, I want to be clean in the sight of God, it's not just people like that who have been so abused that are defiled in God's sight. It's not just the down and outers. It's not just the criminals, the murderers, the vile people who are defiled. The prophet Isaiah said it long ago, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The leper's physical condition here and elsewhere in Scripture speaks of the spiritual condition of all of those outside of Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, consider the condition of the leper. But consider also the compassion of the Lord. The compassion of the Lord. The leper of our text came to Jesus and worshiped him, and Luke states that he fell on his face, beseeching the Lord, Lord, if you are willing, you can. There is no question as to our Lord's ability and power. He can. You might remember from Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, there were four men who wanted to get their friend with the palsy to the Lord Jesus for healing. But the crowd was so great, they couldn't get him to Jesus. Well, not at first. But they went up on the roof and opened up the roof and let the man with the palsy down into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus dealt with his greatest problem first. He said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, those who were there thought within themselves, the Lord Jesus was reading their minds. They thought within themselves, this man is a blasphemer. Only God can forgive sins. They didn't realize the fact that the one standing in their presence was the God-man. Only God can forgive sins. So the Lord Jesus said to them, which is easier to say to the man with the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? Anyone could say thy sins are forgiven. How would they know that? The Lord Jesus said to them, so that you might know that I have power on earth to forgive sins. And now he speaks to the man with the palsy. I say to thee, take up thy bed and walk. You see, the Lord Jesus did the one to prove the other. And this man with the leprosy proves what our spiritual condition is apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the leper said, Lord, if you're willing, you can. And there's no question as to his ability and power. He can. And praise his name, there was no question as to his willingness. The Lord Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. He said, I will. Be thou clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him. And that leper was cleansed. Clean. Clean to return to his home and loved ones. All the awful stigma gone forever. Clean. But please keep in mind, there was no corresponding leprosy to the Lord Jesus. Grace reversed the law. The Lord Jesus made himself responsible for the cause. In John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I do appreciate the messages by Ravi Zacharias. A lot of it goes over my head, but I take in what I can. But he has often said, Christ did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. And to give us cleansing and eternal life, the Savior had to take upon himself a human body. An earthen vessel, if you please. And in that human body, as the perfect servant, one who was obedient even to the death of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, and there he died for us and as us. Made a curse that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So consider the condition of the leper and the compassion of the Lord. But consider, too, the commandment of the law. The Lord Jesus said, tell no man. He's not looking for notoriety here. He's not looking for praise. Tell no man, but go to the priest and offer what Moses commanded in the law for a testimony unto them. So Jesus bids the leper to go to the priest of that day, the constituted authority, for a testimony. I want you to keep in mind, from the time Miriam was cured or cleansed of her leprosy, Numbers 12 and 12, until Matthew chapter 8, about 1,500 years had gone by. No Jew cleansed of leprosy during that time. Gentiles, but no Jew. Think of that now, 1,500 years. I've often wondered how that priest reacted when the one who had been a leper but cleansed came to him and said, now, I've come to do what Moses commanded in the law. What? Let's see now. What? Are you sure you're cleansed of your leprosy? Well, let's see now. Leviticus chapter 13 instructs me as to what to do when I put someone away who is a leper, because God doesn't want anyone in the congregation who shouldn't be there. But now, where do I go when one has been cured of his leprosy? 1,500 years have transpired. Oh, he had read Leviticus chapter 13 perhaps a number of times. But where do I go here now when one is cleansed of leprosy? Leviticus chapter 14. And here in chapter 14, God gives specific instructions. as to what is to be done to receive one back into the fellowship, into the congregation, who had been cleansed, because God doesn't want anyone out who should be in. So with that in mind, look quickly at Leviticus chapter 14. And you know, that priest should have proclaimed the wonder of this miracle after 1,500 years, but there was no response from him. He should have gone to see this one who performed such a miracle. No. It would not have anything to do with Jesus. And Israel would not have anything to do with Jesus. No response from him. Israel, overall, they would have none of him. They refused to heed either his words, his work, or his ways. So Leviticus chapter 14, here's what the priest was to do. Look at verse 3. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds. Takes two to tell the full story. Take two birds, alive and clean, and cedarwood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water, and the living bird, he shall take it and the cedarwood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him, that is to be cleansed from his leprosy, seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into an open field so that he can fly heavenward. Did the Lord Jesus Christ, in giving the two on the Emmaus Road, that Bible reading, did he take them to Leviticus chapter 14 as he impressed upon him not only his death and his burial, but his bodily resurrection? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Don't you realize that this heavenly one, God's well-beloved Son, came down and took upon him an earthen vessel for the purpose of dying in that earthen vessel over running water, over living water, as the Hebrew text would give it, a picture of the Holy Spirit? And then it takes two birds, as I say, to tell the story. And then the living bird, along with these other things, was taken and dipped into the blood of the dead bird and let loose in an open field with the blood of that dead bird sprinkled upon the one cleansed of his leprosy. And they picture the one who came down and took upon him an earthen vessel for the purpose of dying, shedding his blood, and then ascending back to heaven, that all who receive Christ as Savior might be identified with him and his precious shed blood. The commandment of the law. I'm inclined to believe that the Lord Jesus took those two on the Emmaus Road to Leviticus chapter 14. Dear friend, it's good to be able to say, I am cleansed from sin in the sight of God. You'll read in Colossians chapter 1 that God sees all believers in Christ as holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Can you say sincerely, preacher, I understand something of what you're saying. I have trusted Christ, and I know what it is to be cleansed by his precious blood. Let's look in our songbooks to number 504. 504, he touched me. 504. And we're going to sing just the second stanza. just the second stanza. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. 504. Let's stand, please, and sing just that second stanza. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me. Brother Dave Steenland, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer, please?
Settled in heaven, your word of truth. Father, we thank you for the truth that you love us, that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to pay our sin debt as you hung at Calvary's cross and there shed his blood for us. Father, we pray this morning for any who are in our company who have not yet come personally to the person of the Lord Jesus and opened their hearts and lives to him and taken him as Savior. Lord, may this be the day that become aware of their need and that they go to the Lord Jesus and are born again into the family of God. Their sins are forgiven. They're made perfect before you. So Lord, use your word to accomplish your purposes among us this morning. We praise and thank you in Jesus' name.